Blog Talk Radio.
EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move. We shape the life for a better tomorrow. EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move. We shape the life for a better tomorrow.
The champ is here.
Hey y'all, it's here, it's finally here, the buzz is here. What is the buzz?
EOTM BuzzWire magazine at EOTMBuzzWire.com is a monthly magazine on the web.
Continuing with EOTM's mission to encourage, empower, and enlighten, BuzzWire magazine at EOTM.com. BuzzWire.com will help bring entrepreneurs together, and connecting minds will increase networks to increase net worth.
Read EOTM BuzzWire magazine each month at EOTMBuzzWire.com and stay enlightened and empowered.
Oh, missing Mr. Little One. Oh, no.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Queens of Internet Radio. This is your girl, Carla B. My girls, Queen G, repping the West Coast, EOTM family. Don EOTM Adams and Say to Say is holding the show down with me tonight, and you best believe we are always excited as ever to be right back here with our friends once again, where we are always striving to encourage, empower, and enlighten your mind. And speaking of enlightening, if you are needing some, you will always find it when you visit www.queensofinternetradio.com. And you can also stream live to all of our shows at www.eotmradio.com. And for the entrepreneur in you, guess what? We got a place for you as well. Visit www.eotmspace.com. Spread the word and create. Go ahead and create your space. EOTM is all about increasing networks because we understand that it increases your net worth. And as I stated at the top of the segment, my co-hosts are hanging. They're hanging tight with me tonight, y'all, and it's so great to have everybody aboard with me. We're going to start off with Don. It's great having you aboard. Don, it's been a minute. How's everything on your side?
Pretty good. I can't complain. I appreciate you having me on the panel, such a controversial subject. I hope that something that we say, can be of use to someone out there, whether you are for or against, this particular topic. That's it.
All right. Okay, cool beans. Thanks for giving us a portion of your evening, and I'm sure your input will be well-perceived, well-deserved, all that good stuff. Queen G, girlfriend, you there?
Yes, ma'am. How's everybody today?
I'm
going to say, like Don said, I appreciate the opportunity for having me on today's show. Wow, I can't wait. I'm excited.
That's what's up. Say to say. What's good with you, girlfriend?
Well, ma'am, I just have butterflies in my stomach right now. I am just so excited for this topic because it's such a like a diversional topic and very personal, so I am looking forward to it, definitely.
Okay, all right. Well, that's what's up, Say to Say. Mm-hmm. What I want to do, you guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come right back, and we'll dive into this controversial topic. Hold tight, everybody.
You better believe it. Blog Talk Radio.
B-O-G-M.
My wife Carla started, seen Ronnie do it. Sweet T and Say too, they came through. Taking their debut in the recession, showing us how to make do. In the middle was heavy, but light on the edge. With Chauncey Gibson, the righteous get fed. Trey Love crying from his heart to the core. On the move with the mind of an entrepreneur. A better tomorrow, we play for fight. Maximize potential, reshape your life. Time ain't never wasted. They got blogs with guided meditation. Rise above it all at least. Navigating through this Middle East. It's like trying to rollerblade up a hill of Greece. The radio media is a maverick tutor. With Grandma dripping Don Adams Jr. Y'all know what it is, man.
E-O.
In the building,
E-O.
And that's
That's what's up. Welcome back, everybody. Got to give some fan shouts out to the guy who did our promo. He's done almost every single one for the past 3 years for Ron. Thanks for that hot new promo. And everybody, thanks again for joining us for part one of the Awakening of African Americans. This is a new series of shows on EOTM Radio. And before I get started, I want to put a disclaimer out. I want to put that disclaimer out there for everybody. The thoughts and beliefs of one host does not necessarily reflect the thoughts of EOTM Corp or any of the other hosts. And just want to put it out there that this will be an open forum, so please feel free to call in and share your thoughts and opinions. Our studio line number is 718-664-6543, and our chat room is now open. We are also logged into Skype under EOTM Radio, as well as Facebook. So Facebook friends, Skype friends, we are looking forward to all of your comments and your questions. So chat us up. I want to start the segment off with some statistics. Now, do you know what the leading cause of death in the African American community since 1973 is? Think about it for a minute. Is it heart disease, cancer, or accident? Is it AIDS or violent crime? There is one possibility that is often overlooked, and it happens 1,452 times a day in our community. It has taken over 13 million black lives within the last 30 years. It has taken one third of our present population. What is it? You want to know? It's abortion. Abortion, y'all. Don't believe it? Well, you don't have to, but you will be a fool not to, because the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has provided the tragic statistics. According to the CDC, y'all, since 1973, the year of the Supreme Court decision Roe versus Wade, 13 million African American lives have been lost to abortion. The CDC reports that of the approximately 4,000 abortions that are performed daily in the United States, 1,452 of them are performed on African American women and their preborn children. This means that although African Americans represent only 12% of the population of the United States, they account for 35% of the abortions performed in this country. Now, if that doesn't open eyes, you know, that this is a growing crisis within the African American communities, I must say, it's quite possible nothing will. EOTM decided to have a series of shows on the subject because we feel that if we know the information and are powered with facts, we can go about in an effort to make change. And y'all know what change is, right? That's what Obama has preached all along. So at this time, I want to take some time out to welcome one of our guests that will be chiming in with us for the first hour of our show. We have Catherine Davis from the Georgia Right to Life Organization. Catherine, are you with us?
I am. Thank you for having me with you.
Well, thank you, Catherine, and welcome to EOTM Radio. And before we dive into our segment, I want, if you can please share with our listeners a little bit about you and Georgia Right to Life.
I am the Director of Minority Outreach for Georgia Right to Life, and for a little over a year now have been reaching out to pastors and other black leaders to sound the alarm about the topic that you are speaking of tonight. I go into churches, I go to colleges and universities. As a matter of fact, if you get two people in the room, I will come to talk about the impact that is so horrific on the black community, I believe, as does Georgia Right to Life, there has to be something else contributing to this number. In our estimation, the numbers are even higher than you just cited, because the CDC is 2 to 3 years behind in their reporting on the actual number of abortions. But if you look at the Alan Guttmacher website, you can pretty much project what the numbers actually are based on what they've been for the past 10 or so years. So America's been averaging about 1.2 million abortions a year in this country. And the Guttmacher Institute, as well as the CDC, reports that about 37 million of those abortions, 37%, I'm sorry, of those abortions are on black women. Well, if you take the current number of at least 51 million abortions since 1973, we're talking about closer to 19 million black babies that have died by abortion. And if 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust of Germany, what would we call almost 19 million black babies dying in America at the hands of the abortionists?
Wow. And that's powerful, how you put that. Definitely an analogy I wouldn't have came up with. But I know that, I mentioned Georgia Right to Life. And I have a good idea as far as the purpose, but maybe for some listeners out there that are a little bit confused as to the purpose of Georgia Right to Life, if you can go ahead and elaborate on that.
Yes, Georgia Right to Life was founded in 1970, prior to Roe v. Wade becoming the law of the land, to begin to address the issue of abortion in the state of Georgia. And primarily they educate the community about abortion and its impact, including the ramifications of abortion that we don't really consider, such as extreme premature birth rates and a direct link between abortion and breast cancer. So it's an educational arm, but it's also a politically active arm in that they typically offer legislation each year that would impact the number of abortions that are allowed to occur in this state.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for that. And again, as I said at the top of the segment, thank you for giving us a portion of your evening to enlighten our listeners. I want to start off, ladies and gentlemen, with a little information as to what will be discussed tonight. And I had put out some blogs and some different articles online. We even had some press releases. So we got a little bit of slack from individuals that were not, that didn't understand as to the statistics we were putting out there. Some of them believe that it was things that were made up. So I do want to start off with how I acquired the information that's going to be discussed tonight. I want to go on to say that the Center for Business and Economic Research at the University of Dayton, we got a lot of information from their focus group. And what they did was they conducted a focus group with African American women. Now, from the information that I found via these focus groups, I was able to discern some basic information as to how these women perceive the abortion issue, as well as their attitudes towards right to life, area crisis pregnancy centers, as well as organizations such as Planned Parenthood. So based on these initial findings, what this focus group decided to do was they continued to conduct a number of personal interviews, group discussions, and more formal focal groups over the next 2 years of their research. The participants in the research, they range from teens, single mothers, fathers, pastors, and other professionals. And some of these people had experienced abortion. Many consider themselves to be pro-choice. So what I want to do is I want to touch on some of their findings that I hope will begin to foster a concerted effort on the part of the pro-life movement just to be able to reach out in a more effective manner to our African-American neighbors. And, you know, just like I stated at the beginning of the segment as far as the topic, it is the awakening of African-Americans. So hopefully we'll be able to open some eyes tonight. Now, I realize that these findings, they represent dominant opinions. However, it is important to keep in mind that not all African Americans think alike any more than do individuals in any other group of people. So bringing it all together, the university found that the more removed someone was from Black cultural influences, the less likely he or she was to share in some of these attitudes. For an example, while the group as a whole did not feel that the desire to keep a pregnancy a secret had much bearing on abortion decisions, the participants who were suburban and college educated seemed to feel that the need for secrecy was an overriding concern. One of the most striking findings was the high rate of denial many of the participants exhibited over the rate of abortion within the African-American community. And some even accused the researchers of making up figures to make them look bad. And one participant even went on to mention that her first reaction was, when she heard about the statistics, her first reaction was, here we go again. She felt that white people were telling us one or more things that we were doing wrong. What I want to do is I want to, you know, get everybody's opinion on what I just spoke of. I want to get everybody's opinion that's on the line right now that we have already unmuted. So what I want to do is first start off with Catherine. But before I do, I just want to put it out there that there's a little bit of feedback noise. Not for sure where it's coming from. So everybody that has already spoken on the line, if you could just please be mindful of that. We're going to start it off with Catherine. Would you like to chime in on what I just spoke of?
I'm a little bit surprised by that study that women were in denial. Now, I do know and have encountered that most African Americans have no idea of the impact that abortion is having, but usually when the truth is shared, many of them, of us rather, understand it and begin to look at the abortion issue a little bit differently. I haven't encountered the denial, however, that you describe.
Okay. Thanks for that, Catherine. Say, too, does she want to chime in on that?
Yes, I definitely want to say that as far as them being in denial, I doubt that they're being in denial because they are pretty much aware of the things that are going on as far as abortion. But I just like wanted to say, as far as the censor body reform, I was reading it, and basically they were saying that abortions per day was like 150,000, and it was basically saying like 17% were from developed countries and 83% was from developing countries. And really, I don't find that amazing because I can like kind of see it like that. But as far as people within the United States, people are, well, my personal opinion is really, people are just trying to find a easy way out as far as them not being able to take care of their responsibilities as far as them getting pregnant. If you was never raped, I feel as though that you should just woman up and take it into consideration as far as your child, because, yes, you might be considered as a statistic, but you are truly and really harming your body. Like, I know a couple of friends who have had 3, 4, 5, 6 abortions, and they're only 23. So, and yes, and that is crazy. I constantly try to put that in their heads, like you are really destroying your body. Like that is not healthy for you. And as far as me, I would never, ever, ever, ever take back having my three kids. Yes, I may be only 23 years old, but as far as me having my kids, I would never do, like, never do that. Like, I can think back to when I was pregnant with my third child, and I was so depressed. I mean, literally, I would sit in my room and just cry and just think about how disappointed my parents would be and how people would look at me and look at me as being a nobody because I have three kids. But then every time I thought about me not having the abortion, it's like I would become happy again. And I just want to say that people as a general would just need to open up their eyes and just know that abortion is not healthy for your body, and you definitely need to take that into consideration as okay. far as that.
Okay. Well, I want to say, because I guess maybe you guys didn't really understand as to the question that I was putting out there. What I think within that particular question was a lot of women, it wasn't like they were in denial, but they felt that they needed to keep their pregnancy a secret.
But why would you want to keep it a secret when all is that going to do is, like, torment you more about you doing that? I think it's better for them to even try to consider talking to somebody and get an opinion on that type of decision. Yes, it might be your body. Yes, but like,
well, I'll say this. This really quick. Yeah, I'm gonna say this, and this is coming from like personal experiences. I got pregnant at age 16, and I was scared to death, so I could not tell my parents. I couldn't tell anybody in my family, and so I kept my pregnancy a secret until I was about six months pregnant. So, you know, I think situations like that, considering, you know, as far as teen pregnancy was on the rise back when I was, you know, 16, that was about, you know, I'm not going to say how many years ago, but it was on the rise then, and then it's definitely on the rise again now. So with that, I want to turn it to Don to see what his comments is on that, and then we'll turn it to Queen G.
Wow, a lot of information. You know, I agree with a lot of what Say is saying.
You said my name wrong.
I apologize. I get tongue-tied.
That's okay.
But, you know, and I'm sorry. But, you know, Say too. I'm sorry, Say too. But I want to agree with a lot of what Say too is saying because, you know, as a counselor myself here in the Atlanta area, a lot of the abortion and unwanted pregnancy issue I think came from folks or people and that generally just weren't fessing up or weren't being grown up about doing grown up things. And abortion has become a tool of birth control. And, you know, and I heard the statistics about how African-American women are having so many abortions. But, you know, I'm going to put this out there that when I did some research on this topic as well, 60% of the abortions that happen in this country are done by white women. You know, 60%. Now, don't get me wrong. I still know that a disproportionate number of African-American women are performing abortions, but that's only because we make a smaller percentage of the population. So I think it's important for everyone to understand how those numbers correlate with each other. And I think,
can
too,
I chime in on that?
I'm sorry?
I, this is Catherine. I'm sorry. I want to chime in on what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
You said you're in Atlanta.
Yes, I am.
In 2008, there were 32,066 abortions performed on Georgia women.
Mm-hmm.
Of that number, 18,901 were on black women, according to the Georgia Department of Health. That's almost 60% of the abortions in this state were done on black women.
Well,
I
Catherine,
think there's something more happening than we're just looking at the percentages in a disproportionate way. I believe that the black community is targeted by the abortion industry, and I think that we can point to very specific indicators of that, such as the location of the abortion clinics. 100% of the clinics in Georgia are in urban areas where we reside. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they're in majority black neighborhoods, but they certainly, if there is a percentage of black population located in a neighborhood, then the clinic is going to be in the part of the neighborhood where the black folks reside, and it's not going to be in the majority community.
Well,
and I think
that's by design. Okay, well, Catherine, let me just say this, that, you know, number one, the numbers that I'm looking at are on a national average and not just on a Georgia average. And, you know, I respect the numbers that you have, and you know, I don't know enough to either to disagree with you on those facts, but I do know that on a national average, white women make up 60% of the abortion rate in the country and not Georgia. But, you know, with the thing that you're saying about where the abortion clinics are located, you know, I'm going to say this. You know, we have liquor stores in just about every African-American community that's in existence here in Atlanta, on just about every block in the African-American community. We also have churches on just about every block in the African-American communities. But people are choosing to go to the liquor stores more than they're choosing to go to the churches. Now, one of the comments that you made earlier was that, you know, you did not think that women were aware of or were, you know, or that they were in denial of certain things. Well, I beg to differ a little bit about that because of the fact that I believe, you know, abortion should be a pro-choice issue, or it should be a choice, a right to choose issue. But I think that even more so importantly than that is that we need to educate our young people. We need to educate our men, and we need to educate our women, and we need to educate them on the consequences of committing adult acts and using abortion as a tool of birth control. You know, and I think that an ounce of education goes a long way towards prevention. Now, me, myself, personally, I'll be honest with the panel and with the public and with all those within earshot of my voice, I'm against abortion. I think that, you know, hey, I think that's outrageous. But I do believe that people should have the right to choose. And along with that, make an informed decision.
Okay. Thank you for that, Don. I want to switch it to Queen G, and then we do have a lot of callers in queue, so I want to get some of their comments on what we put out there. Queen G?
Yes. I'm so thankful for this type of show and this type of panel because it just provides us with so much information. You know what I mean? I'm very shocked about the numbers that I heard in the beginning. About how many millions of African Americans are getting abortions. It's just very shocking. I mean, I've never heard it placed like that. And being compared to the Holocaust, those numbers, it's just really devastating. I heard that word stated earlier. And I'm going to piggyback, I guess, off of what Don said regarding how so many, and I know I can only speak kind of for California because that's where I'm at, and I'm very familiar with the teen pregnancy rating and, you know, the teen, you know, area or genre, and I do know that they are using abortion as a form of birth control, and I don't know if it's misinformation or if they're going along with the trend of it all. A lot of times teenagers, they follow along with a trend. And nowadays, a lot of the young people, they they have this no-care type of attitude. And it's like, well, shoot, if I get pregnant, I could just get rid of it. You know, it's that mentality. I've heard it stated out of young people's mouths. And this generation, I know, to me, more information has been provided about birth control, about, you know, preventative measures, things they have access to in the schools. They have access to condoms and, you know, ways that they could prevent it, but they still go along with the trend of it all because it's the popular thing to do. And, you know, as a young person, I was also a teen mom. I had my first child at 14, my second by 16. Before I even got out of the 10th grade or the 12th grade, I mean, I had two children already, and I stuck it out. I stayed with, you know, my children and chose to keep them. you know, and it is a very difficult choice to make when you're that age level. You get taunted and teased and that kind of thing. And trust and believe, the thought of getting rid of them definitely entered my mind. But traditionally, as well as the way that I was taught, you know, you hang on to your children and you take care of your responsibility. You know what I mean? Even if mistakes are made. But I wanted to, you know, put it out there to the entire panel. What do you think about this trend? I know in California, that's what they're doing. I mean, it's a trend. Right. It's not misinformation. Right. It's not how they're being educated.
We're going to get on that, and that's definitely a great question to present to the panel, but I want to kind of stick to the format that we have right now, and then we'll, you know, there's time at the end, we'll definitely jump back into that. What I want to do is we do have some callers in queue, so I want to see if they wanted to chime in on what we spoke of so far. And first off, I want to go ahead and unmute area code 404-453. I believe this is our good friend Paulette Beebe out of Atlanta. You are live on air with EOTM. Do you have a comment or questions in regards to what we spoke of so far?
Okay.
All right, we'll wait a little bit to get her on. I'm going to unmute another caller who's been holding so ever so patiently. And I'm going to unmute you, but I'm going to need you to speak on what we spoke of so far. And then we'll touch on other things in a little bit. The area code that I'm unmuting is 678-724. This is Ashley out of Atlanta. Welcome to the show.
Hey. Yeah, about the trend, I think it's really going on, like, a lot of places around the world. There's actually a movie out where there was a pact where females actually had like a promise that they were all going to get pregnant together, and they were actually teenagers. And I'm actually 19.
Actually, we weren't talking about the trend right now. Did you want to touch on what we spoke of at the top of the hour? Or did you want to hold tight until we talk about the trend?
Oh, about the secrecy about teen pregnancy?
Yeah,
well, actually, I got pregnant when I was 15, and I told my sister and my brother, and I didn't tell my parents. My brother actually ended up telling my parents, and, you know, I didn't tell them. I was really scared, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I had actually almost made up my mind to get an abortion because I wanted to go to college, and I wanted to do all this with my life. I was a straight-A student, but I had my daughter. She's 2.5 now, and I don't regret having her. I do not regret having her. But I think a lot – well, okay, this is kind of about the trend. I'll say that later, but, you know, a lot of people that actually keep it a secret –
yeah, as for the secrecy, how long did you keep your pregnancy a secret?
Oh, like 2 months, two and a half, maybe, not even.
Okay.
Mhm. Yeah, but I don't regret having her. And I know actually a lot of females who keep their pregnancy a secret and have an abortion, and their parents still don't know that they were ever pregnant.
Wow. Let me ask Catherine if she wanted to chime in on any of that.
Yeah, I have not encountered, and I'm very interested in hearing the panel and their experiences with their pregnancies, and it does my heart good to hear that they decided to keep their babies. I haven't encountered the secrecy part of it, although it breaks my heart to hear that there are young people who don't tell their parents, because there are consequences to those kinds of decisions that I don't believe everybody has the information on. And so if you're keeping it a secret and you're having a secret abortion and not informing your parents or your pastor or school counselor or someone that could give some direction about the implications of making that kind of decision on your own. It's a difficult situation. It's always difficult when you find that you are pregnant, but there has to be a better answer than keeping it secret, But there also has to be a better answer than going forward with an abortion, not understanding all of the consequences that could happen as a result of that decision that you made.
Right. All right. Well, thanks for that, Catherine. I want to take a quick commercial break, everybody, and we'll come back with more of the Awakening of African Americans on EOTM Radio, Part 1. Hold tight, everybody.
Hi, and welcome to your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com.
You know, when two people decide to get married, it's a pretty exciting time, but it also brings up a lot of hard questions. One of these questions is, how exactly are you and your spouse-to-be going to merge your money? The first step in doing this is to start discussing your financial goals. A good exercise to get this going is for each partner to make a list of his or her short-term goals, like paying off a credit card, getting a new car, or even going on a vacation. Then begin to list your long-term goals, like retirement or having a baby. From there, you should be able to determine which of these goals are a priority to both of you. Then, once you've identified these goals, you can focus your energy on achieving them. This is Gil Michelle.
That was your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com. To get more information and receive our free newsletter, visit BlackMoneyMatters.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I want to start back up with some information from the study. According to this same study, men especially seem to believe that abortion was a white problem. We were frequently told our women didn't do that. Some men expressed this belief that any black woman would seek an abortion for economic reasons. Their thinking went along the line that black women are used to being poor and that they somehow always made room at the table for another mouth to feed. The women tended to believe that while abortions did indeed occur, they usually were reserved for serious situations where no other option was perceived to exist, and economics often played an important part. I know that's kind of, everybody got something to say about that. I want to start it off with Catherine. Go ahead and chime in on that.
You know, the myth here is that the black women who are seeking abortion are poor women. Those are the women that the abortion industry is attempting to get to. They haven't gotten to the Medicaid woman, the woman that's able to stretch a dollar until it hollers. You know what I'm saying? So there's this great myth that these children would be born in poverty, and somehow abortion seems to be the only answer to that. But I think the belief that we can manage our money in a way to be able to afford our children is true, except that we have been, I think, sold a bill of goods that the only answer we have is to abort the baby. But it's not the poor woman. It's the educated college woman. It's a married woman. It's not these very poor women who are on food stamps or getting Medicaid that are the ones that are primarily visiting our abortuaries around the country.
Wow, and that's a way to put it, abortuaries. Don, you want to chime in on that?
I agree with a lot of what she's saying there on her points with who's having these abortions. But what's happening too is, I know she mentioned that the welfare recipients, most of them aren't finding their ways to the abortion clinics. And you know, and this is one of the things that I think is also alarming, is that without the abortion choice being on the table, what you're finding is that a lot of women are taking alternative routes that are dangerous, and I think that those are the numbers that we don't hear about. In my experience in counseling and dealing with different families and situations, I've always said that when people have real issues and real life concerns, they're not always in a hurry to jump up and down on the table and say, hey, here I am, I've got this problem. I think the call earlier indicated that she kept her pregnancy a secret for 2 months. Imagine how that would have turned out had she come forward with it beforehand. And when I say that, I say that I lead up to this point, which is that when we talk about these issues and these abortion patterns and characteristics and statistics, we need to keep in mind that there is a such thing as a hidden number. And the hidden number are those that do not come forth and that do not step through the cracks. Where are these people? Where are they going? They're going to your counseling office, and they're telling their stories to those that in places that they don't necessarily need to be told. So with that being said, again, I think it's important that we realize that, you know, there are other unheard of options that are out there that our people are using.
Okay.
Unheard of options are they?
Well, let me give you
Before we get the back and forth between Catherine and Don, let's get some feedback from Say 2 on what I just spoke of.
Yes, I totally agree with Catherine. Yes, I totally agree with her on what she said about the well-educated women. Yes, that is so true to me, and I totally agree with you on that as far as that. But to me, I feel as though they are being very selfish. They are very self-centered as far as having the abortions. And they do have the money to keep the baby, but they're just being selfish because they don't want nobody else in their life to ruin what they're having in plans of their life. But like the way I say it, huh?
No,
excuse
I don't
me.
Think that's fair to say that.
What as far as them being selfish?
Yeah, because we don't know what their reasons are for getting an abortion just because they're college educated and appear to have things going on. I don't really think that's fair to say that they're being selfish.
Well, some of them are selfish to me as far as that because, like, they know the consequences of having sex without a condom.
Don't lower class, not necessarily lower class people, but lower income people know that as well. So what would you call them?
Like as far as the poor people who have babies and, yeah, well, maybe they was raised differently or maybe it's just the way their thoughts are for the whole abortion thing. Mm-hmm. So maybe the educated folks or I'm thinking more so on like the easy way out or like maybe because I have the money to do so, then I can do it that way.
Well, you know, we've had 37 years of being acculturated to accept abortion as an option for addressing our pregnancies. And for 37 years, it's been sold as a viable option because if you'll remember, they didn't start out saying that it was a baby. They said it was a blob of tissue. It wasn't a life. It wasn't viable in order to get us acclimated to the idea that abortion is the route to go. So there's a lot of reasons that women may choose to go ahead and abort their babies. I, again, think it's because of targeting. I don't think it's just simply someone being selfish or desiring, you know, to just use abortion as, I'm sorry, I do believe women have been targeted to use abortion as birth control as opposed to weighing all of the options that might be available to them. Someone said earlier that they had a friend that had several abortions, like a large number that made me grunt.
Yes.
I think it was like 5 or 6 abortions.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, my God, you know, what do you call that? But in a culture that says it's okay to be a strong black woman and exercise your right to choose, it becomes difficult to cast those women as being selfish. Because that's what they've heard for the last 37 years, that it's okay to take care of the, quote, problem. We'll help you with your problem, not this is a viable life that you might want to consider. And I would ask that woman that had that many abortions, what their feelings are, because my experience has shown me that when a woman has an abortion like that, it impacts her self-esteem. There's a measure of depression that happens, and I mean, I'm meeting women from all over the country, and they tell me what they experience, and then personally, I can tell you as a post-abortive woman that there is depression that happens, and there are some women that can't deal with the fact that they took the life of their child, and many of them commit suicide, but we don't hear about that. We don't hear about those women who are so impacted that they turn to drugs or alcohol or become even more promiscuous in order to justify the guilt that many of them are experiencing. And I'm reporting firsthand testimonies, not something that someone told me or that I heard in the street, but women that have subsequently gotten healed of their angst about having aborted their children and are now able to talk about it. They will admit what they went through, but we don't talk about those things. And as I mentioned at the top of the program, we don't talk about the link between breast cancer, the number of sisters that are now battling breast cancer because they aborted their first child and never had a child after that, so that their breasts couldn't mature, you know. So there's a lot of hidden impact to this decision to abort your child that I think goes beyond the selfishness question, although there may be women who are selfishly doing it, because I know I was one of those women, and I selfishly did it.
Okay, Catherine, I have one question for you. I have one question for you. How you feel as... Okay, cool. How you feel as though about women who have abortions because it's not by the right guy or the one that they want to have a baby by, or maybe because the baby father is cheating on them, or because he's ugly, or how you feel about that?
Oh, geez.
Yes, I've heard. Trust me, I've heard.
See, there may be some women that are making decisions like that. I don't think, at least I pray, that is not the reason that most women have it. But I would say to those women, why, if you felt that way, did you have unprotected sex in the first place? Why weren't you afraid in a day and age when the leading cause of death for African-American women 18 to 34 is HIV? Why weren't you afraid to do that? Why do men have sex?
Yes,
for
like
the same
sex,
women
sex,
that
sex
women
is,
have sex.
Sex is
that's a whole different topic. That's probably gonna be like part three of the
series.
Well,
you know what? Can I say something? If I could, you know, I heard.
Yes,
I wanted to answer Catherine's question about unheard of methods, and maybe I termed it wrong, but what I actually meant by unheard of methods were methods of abortion that are not your traditional methods that you know, for all intents and purposes, are not in the mainstream abortion sort of arena. I've heard of people trying to use yoga, acupuncture, certain abortion medicines, homeopathy, backroom doctors with hangers.
Wow.
So those are the types of methods that I'm talking about. And,
ew.
You know, as far as black women being targeted for abortions, you know, I only have one comment to that. You know, I find that very hard to kind of agree with, because of the fact that, you know, at the end of the day, when these women are choosing to have these abortions, and I said choosing, no one is going into their homes and knocking on their doors and saying, hey, if you're pregnant, come on out, I'm going to give you an abortion. So I don't agree with the targeting, with it being identified as targeting. But what I will say is this, as an African-American man who does feel like I'm targeted for certain social traps, I can say this, that, you know, the fact that our women are not or undereducated about the risk involved with abortions, undereducated about the alternatives to not getting pregnant, I think that aspect of abortion is targeted. And I think that these doctors and some of these entities out here are monopolizing and capitalizing and making money off of that aspect. So with that being said, I strongly agree and I strongly say, I want to put this out there, that I really believe education, education, education is the key.
Right, right.
I agree with that. Can I just do this one little quick thing?
Yeah.
There is a movie,
I don't know
if you all have heard of this movie. It's called Myalpha 21. And, bro, I'm in Atlanta. I'd be more than happy to get a copy into your hands. But I do believe there's targeting, just like we fight the liquor stores and tobacco in our community. We are being marketed to. In 2009, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice, said Roe v. Wade was the case that was going to enable us to get rid of the populations we don't want too many of. And so I think we have to be aware of that. And there's this movie, it's a documentary, Myalpha 21. I would encourage you all to get it. It's on YouTube. You can watch it in segments for free. Or contact me afterwards, and I'll get a copy in your hands.
I want to thank for that, Catherine. And I know the time with you is dwindling a little bit because it's almost been almost to the 8 o'clock hour. But I want to touch on something that you and Don touched on as far as targeting. You know, I'll tell you this. I feel that some young African-American women that are from lower-income families, they are being targeted, and I think that they're being targeted by their own families. They're being targeted by their mothers, by their uncles, by their aunts, by their grandmothers. And I'll say this, me, by being a teen mom, I get pregnant when I was 16 years old. I was not a promiscuous child or anything. First time I had sex, I got pregnant. And I was scared to death. I didn't tell anybody for 6 months. But when I did, I was 6 months pregnant. My belly was sticking way out. And I tell you, everybody in my family, including my father, they said, go get an abortion. Let's go get an abortion. You have to get an abortion. You know, and I just felt like, you know, I was just being, you know, I was just drowning in the despair because I had, you know, I mean, I didn't know anything about being a parent, of course, being 16 years old, but the only thing I knew was that there was something growing in me that was kicking every night. And for everybody, you know, I just felt like I was being just targeted by them. I didn't get the information in the beginning as far as, you know, I didn't get any talks about sex or anything. No real talks about sex. I remember when I was about 15 and I had a sex education class and I was, you know, getting talks and stuff. But as far as my family, you know, I guess it was just like, you better not have sex. You know, so that was that. And so as far as targeting, I definitely agree that there's targeting in our own family. And with that, I want to open it up to some of the callers because I know that we have some young ladies on the line who have, you know, thought about abortion and things of that sort. So I want to ask Ashley Carter, and then we do have Paulette Beatty that is online as well. So I'm going to unmute you after Ashley. So please be ready. Ashley, did you want to touch on targeting?
Yes, actually, I was also targeted by my family. My own father told me he was going to disown me if I didn't get an abortion. So that really hurt me, you know? And I was almost at the point where I had to get an abortion, and even, like, the father, he was like, well, either way, I'm behind you. And I didn't know, like, how I was going to finish with my life if I didn't get an abortion, but I ended up keeping him. And actually, my own parents actually tried to force me. I had to look up the laws and make sure they couldn't force me to get an abortion.
Wow, that's powerful.
Well, on that note, Georgia has a bill that is being considered by the House of Representatives right now that would ban an abortion if someone was being coerced into it. So there will be laws, prayerfully, on the books that would prevent someone's parents from forcing them, as this young lady said, into aborting their child if that's not what they wanted to do.
Wow.
let me thanks Ashley, and hold tight because we want to keep you on. We have another hour remaining. Want to see Paulette BD 404-453. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening. Good evening. Did you want to chime in on some of the things that we've been talking about tonight?
Yes, I will. I was thinking earlier today when this subject was brought to me and that we were going to talk about this tonight, and I thought to myself, how many women do I personally know who've had an abortion? My friends, my family members, myself. And I thought to myself, wow, I couldn't think of really more than five people who haven't had one, the people that I know in my life who are with whatever reasons. And I thought to myself, wow, this subject has to be touched on, and it's a great topic because it has to be spoken on. You know, black women, we have so many things we're trying to do in this world. We're trying to raise children, have jobs, have relationships, and, you know, abortion is such a touchy subject. It's so personal. The decisions you make about this is something that, you know, if that affects only you, but the if you have children already, if you have family members, a husband, a boyfriend, significant other, it's just a subject that needs to be touched on. And I feel like a lot of women feel like they make decisions for other people and not themselves. Because having a baby is a big responsibility. I have a 3-month-old, and I have 2 other beautiful children. So even as a grown woman, you know, having the responsibility of raising 3 children and taking care of them, it's a big load, but it's something I chose to do because I wanted them here and I brought them here, and I just feel like a lot of women need an outlet to get their voice heard about how they feel about abortion, you know, whether it's for themselves, family members, friends, because like I said, I know a lot of people, and I think if we all thought about it, a lot of women in our lives have had abortions, and I just feel like, you know, it's a good topic that we can bring it out and getting out to the public.
Right. I want to, thanks for that, Paulette, and definitely I'm going to keep you unmuted, so if you want to chime in, you know, definitely stay around.
Catherine, I know that you'll be leaving in a minute, but before you do, I definitely want to touch on some other things. If you have about 5-10 more minutes?
Sure.
Okay, I want to skip over. Okay, I'm gonna skip over a couple of things in our format just to touch on some things that I want to get some feedback from Catherine about. But we're gonna talk about the reaction to some pro-life materials. Very little pro-life literature held much appeal to the African American women in this study. That is, it was generally perceived as being written by white people for white people. I feel there should be more information directed towards women facing a crisis in pregnancy, including photos of aborted babies, something which many crisis pregnancy centers have avoided using. Because as I stated at the top of the hour, I have had, I don't know if I stated that, but I have had an abortion. And going into those pregnancy crisis centers, I got literature, but never pictures. My research revealed that, you know, these photos, which by large have never been seen in the African-American community, well, I'm not going to say have never been seen in the African-American community, but not much, they would have an extremely powerful impact. Women who have experienced abortion appear to feel most strongly that the photos should be shown, and, you know, I can attest to this. Some of these women describe how they have been pressured into abortions, as we said earlier, by family members, and said that they, if they had known more about abortion, they might have been in a better position to resist the pressure. You know, I remember one young woman especially who stated, if I had been able to show these pictures to my brother, I just know he would have not wanted me to have an abortion. Another thing the focus group found that might be especially useful for post-abortion healing is the power of the testimonial. The voice of women who have been there is something African-American women really seek. There is a strong sense that if I haven't walked the walk, don't try to talk the talk. And I'll say this, just, you know, being an African-American woman, me and my girlfriends talk about a lot of things, but I don't ever remember sitting within a circle with my girlfriends talking about, you know, post-abortion experiences, and we've all had them. All of my friends have had abortions. So I want to, you know, get your thoughts on this. We'll start with Catherine, and then we'll go around the board, Don, say two, and we'll get Ashley and Paulette's comments.
Well, I agree that there needs to be more literature, and in fact, I have written a brochure myself that's entitled Abortion, Why Black Women Should Be Aware of the History of Abortion in This Nation. In terms of the pictures, you know, personally, I'm not a picture person, and I think it depends on the individual. However, Georgia Right to Life and other abortion providers do show the pictures and are waging educational campaigns that include the pictures. And so, and at some events, you will see more pictures being shown of an actual abortion. And it might help. You know, one of the things that I just discovered, there was a late-term abortion doctor who was describing a late-term abortion because she felt like we should have more of them. And she has indicated that being African-American is a risk factor for abortion. Now, I never knew that. I never knew that simply by being black, I was at risk to have an abortion. And those are the kinds of things that we need to talk about. And we need to raise it because it has been secret. There is a degree of shame attached to admitting having an abortion. There are organizations that are out here that do help. There's Silent No More Awareness. There are the pregnancy resource centers that have healing components to them for post-abortive women. There are a number of resources, should your listeners want them, that I can put you in touch with that are doing exactly what you're saying. We're beginning to remove the cloak. We're beginning to talk about the impact that abortion is having, both psychologically, physically, the whole nine yards, economically, everything. And having shows like this goes a very long way in helping to break that aura of silence that has kept so many of us from discussing this issue in a meaningful way. And you're right, we absolutely need to talk about it so that we can be aware of its impact on our community.
Okay. All righty. Thanks so much for that. And I want to give you some time, Catherine Davis, to go ahead and cite your website and other contact information for listeners that may be wanting to get in contact with you and your organization after the segment.
Yes, my email address is Catherine with a C, C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, Davis, D-A-V as in Victor, I-S, all one word, at grtl.org. I would welcome any emails anybody wanted to send me. Also, you can go to our website, toomanyaborted.com. That's T-O-O, manyaborted.com, to get some history on the targeting of the black community and the history of abortion in America. And I would welcome anyone reaching out to me, and especially if you want to see the movie Miafa 21. I am setting up screenings of that movie all around Georgia and would welcome your listeners to come and hang out with me.
What I'll say is definitely I'll be in contact because we can probably do a live show at one of your screenings for part two of our series. So we'll definitely be in contact about that. And there's someone in our chat room who is actually saying that they have that DVD. Mafa 21 is the Black Genocide in the 21st Century America. So he said he has it. So that's what the I can't pronounce his or her name. I do apologize. I know the last name looks like it's Dorrell. So thanks for that information. I'm definitely going to look forward to chiming in with you again, Catherine, and maybe doing, like I said, a live broadcast after screening of that movie.
Would love to do it.
Yes, ma'am. So let me go ahead and switch it to Paulette. Did you want to touch on anything that Catherine just spoke about? Okay. Paulette, you there?
Yes, I am here. I feel like Catherine has some good information out there. I feel like that, you know, people can really look into if they have, if they need information about, you know, abortions and why, you know, us black women are running so quickly to get an abortion, because, like I said earlier, the number of women that I know personally that have had abortions is staggering, and I never really, I think, thought about it until earlier today, so,
right.
Yes.
That's
so,
staggering. Mind-boggling.
It really is mind-boggling, and mm-hmm. I also thought about the process when I took one of my girlfriends at one time, how they wanted to give her a two-hour waiting period. It was like a 2 hours of just make that final decision, and with those 2 hours, many girls walked out of that clinic, so it was just very interesting how they just wanted to give you that time. And some clinics, I think, make you wait 24 hours so to make sure. So it's just
And let me say, the law in Georgia is 24 hours. There should never be an abortion done on the same day that you schedule mm-hmm. it. The law says you have to wait 24 hours in this state.
Right, absolutely, because when there was a 2 hour, this was years ago, this was not in Georgia, but there was a 2 hour window that they gave them to just think about it, if you wanted to leave, if you want to make that decision to actually stay. So, but yeah, it was just interesting how they give you that last bit of moment, the little bit of time to try to make that decision. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Say, did you want to touch on that?
Yeah, I feel as though that's a really good thing as far as them, well, helping us to make that final decision on making us wait like a couple of hours and stuff like that. But as far as what Catherine was talking about earlier, as far as talking about it, I feel as though that talking about it is pretty much not enough. I feel as though like high school kids and middle school kids should like, maybe in health class should have a little discussion on the abortion topic and probably watch a movie or something about it, or maybe show them pictures or something just mm-hmm. like just to help them realize or maybe like make them think about that subject as far as I'm having sex and getting pregnant, and then finally all of a sudden getting pregnant. I feel as though that they should definitely have that type of thing in schools.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about you, Don? You want to chime in on that?
Yeah. I want to say to Catherine, thanks, you know, for being a part of the program before she goes. I really appreciate her input on, you know, and I'm listening to what's going on the panel, and, you know, I'm blessed and honored to be the only male voice in it. You know, I hope some of these other guys can chime in because, you know, I'm going to say this to the folks that are listening. You know, this abortion issue in the black community is not just a black female or issue. The
I know,
men
but that's
need
what
to
we're talking
up.
About. That's what we're talking about tonight, though.
Well, and here's where I'm here's
is that, wait. Mm-hmm.
But, well, here's where I'm going with it is that education, okay? And I'm going to say it again, education. And again, I agree with what Catherine is saying about you know, the consequences to having these abortions. But I think that if we educate our women and our young men prior to you know, them getting into that situation, I think that, you know, that goes a long ways for an ounce of prevention. And I listened to some of the callers say that their parents were telling them that the answer to their pregnancy was abortion. You know, I'm going to say this, that, you know, that, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way towards the parents that are out there, but, you know, I've always believed that ignorance breeds ignorance. And I don't mean that to say that you're ignorant in a negative way, but ignorant meaning if you don't know better, then you won't be able to teach better. And, you know, if the answer from a parent is that you should have an abortion to resolve your pregnancy issue, in my mind, I think that parent is simply saying, you know what, I failed you, so let's take the easy way out. You know, once again, I don't agree with abortions personally, but I also don't agree that people should, you know, force you to do something that you don't want to do and take away that person's choice.
Exactly.
So, you know, and with that being said, you know, again, I'm just going to say it, you know, loud and clear, even for those parents that are out there, education, you know, educate your children now before they get into this situation. You know, I was an early parent. I started having children at the age of 15, and my sex education was simply don't do it. And that was it, you know, and at this point in my life when I'd actually done it and had a child, you know, where do you go from there? You know, you wish you could have, should have, would have. You know, education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, education.
Right, that's right. And that's what this segment is about. We're trying to
to put it out there and educate the people and let them know how devastating abortion is for the African-American community. And that's what we're talking about tonight. This is the first part of many shows in the series, The Awakening of African-Americans. And I want to go ahead and go to some new callers, because people have been ever so patiently holding on. I want to go ahead and unmute area code 864-363. You are live on EOTM Radio. Did you have a question or a comment?
I have a comment.
Oh, a male.
Finally, a man.
Greetings, family. Greetings. How are you all tonight?
Hi.
Great.
Good. I have a comment because about the movie, because I'm the one, Bethesda Darrell. I'm sorry. My name is Bethesda Darrell. I was in the chat room.
Okay. I could not pronounce your name. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Yeah. And the movie, it's a wonderful movie. But the problem that I have about the movie is the way they did it. It's almost like whoever the creator of this movie has planted a seed of division of black people. You know, if you watch the movie, you're gonna think twice about Jesse Jackson and President Barack Obama. And that's the only flaw that I have in that movie, but everything else is correct. And I'm Catholic. I'm a practicing Catholic, among other things. And this Caucasian woman, because I'm such a figurehead in the church, wanted me to look at the movie. That's how I came across the movie, and I watched it. And I'm like, wow. But when they got to that, you know, stress about the black leaders or the black people that has taken money from Planned Parenthood and all that kind of stuff, I was like,
you know, because
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
And I have a problem with that because we as blacks, we already divided.
Exactly.
You know.
I'm with you on that.
And being Catholic or whatnot, I'm for life, but at the same time, like the brother was saying, it is the person's choice. And I just feel that what we as a people need to start educating our children to love themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Love is the most powerful energy
lesson
that we have not conquered yet. And I think if we start loving, teaching our children how to love themselves, not saying to be conceited, because that's fear or arrogant, that's fear, but just to love themselves. It doesn't matter what service out here, they're not going to put themselves in harmful situations. And I live a very simplistic life, and that's what it boils down with me, educating the person to love themselves. Because it's a wonderful movie, don't get me wrong, but if you're not strong, you will hate the leaders.
Well, let me just say this, speaking of that, let me just cut you off really quick, because you, what you touching on as far as our leaders is something that, you know, we're going to touch on a little bit later in the segment in regards to, you know, the Barack Obamas and the Reverend Sharptons, far as their, you know, what they're putting out there. And I'm one that believes that, if we understand the statistics, if we see the statistics on how this is devastating the African-American community, how could you be, a professed black leader, caring about black rights and you're for abortion? And that's one thing I just can't understand. I can't fathom it. But I know it's politics, and it's all about the dollar and things of that sort. But that's one thing I'm definitely not in agreement with. And I love some Barack Obama, I'm not in agreement on a lot of things that he stands for, as well as some other African American leaders out there. Don't go anywhere. How do you pronounce your name again?
Bethesda Darrell.
Okay, Bethesda. Hold tight. I want to unmute the phone to one of our co-hosts of EOTM Radio. I don't know if she wants to chime in or not. I may be putting her on the spot, but I did see her dropping the line and coming back on. So I want to see if Sweet Tea, the Sassy Diva, wanted to chime in on this, or were you just listening? Okay. but she may be just listening. I just wanted to, you know, unmute her and try to give her the opportunity to speak if she wanted to. But what I want to do really quick, everybody, we're going to definitely touch on what I was just touching on after a quick commercial break. So hold tight. We'll be right back, family.
We are not afraid, although we know there's much to fear. We were moving mountains long before we knew we could. Oh, yes, there can be miracles when you believe. Though hope is frail, it's hard to keep.
Welcome back, everybody, to EOTM Radio, and this is our first series of many shows to come on the awakening of African Americans. And at this time, I definitely want to thank everybody that has chimed in on the panel tonight. Great show. I wanna switch gears a little bit, you guys, and I wanna touch on African American families, women having the babies out of wedlock, contributing to abortion. So I wanna African American families have dealt with out of wedlock births by absorbing the child into the family structure with grandparents or aunts informally adopting the child. And I know we've all seen that. While this continues to happen to a considerable degree, the number of women who choose abortion has gone kind of unnoticed. I don't know if we still have Catherine on, but there is a striking lack of knowledge about the pro-life movement within the African-American community. In the initial focus groups, no one was able to identify even what issue right to life was involved with. When prompted that they were an organization that was opposed to abortion, they tended to identify them with stereotypical negative media images, such as those people who bombed clinics, while some were familiar with and had actually utilized area crisis pregnancy centers. They did not really connect them with abortion opposition or other pro-life efforts. On the other hand, virtually all the participants correctly identified the services provided by Planned Parenthood and generally had favorable opinions of that organization. They saw Planned Parenthood as a place where teens especially could go for help when their parents were not available. However, I did find it interesting that several women who had previously undergone abortions mentioned pressure from Planned Parenthood as contributing to their decision to abort. And I could definitely believe that, because that actually happened to me. Don, I'm going to allow you to go ahead and chime in first on that if you want to.
You mean as far as the actions of the Planned Parenthood folks? Is that where
yeah.
we are with that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I want to say this, first of all, that I don't know if a lot of people keep up with it or not, but, you know, when we talk about the abortion rates and we're also talking about single-parent households, you know, one of the things that our government likes to do is keep track of how many of our African-American women are single parents, and I'm going to tell you why. It's because they like to build prisons based on those numbers. That's a statistical fact in this country. So when we talk about the single parents and the single mothers that are out there, keep that in mind. But with the Planned Parenthood folks, you know, I want to say this, you know, again, my personal choice is you know, hey, abortions, you know, it shouldn't happen. But again, you know, I really want to stress, and again, what the brother and I both have mentioned is that education prior to is the key. Because I think that if we educate ourselves, we won't have to make these choices, these difficult choices, or at least we won't have to get sucked into making as many of these bad choices as these choices that we had as a people.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that. I don't know if we still have Catherine on, if we do want to see it.
Yeah, I'm still here. I wish that was true. Planned Parenthood has been turned loose on our young people for a very long time, and I would submit that a part of what they have done contributes to the promiscuity that we are seeing in our community. In the movie Maiafa, one of the things that they show is a website that Planned Parenthood paid for with taxpayer money that was called Take Care Down There. And I tell you, I used to fight when I was younger, and I would hit you before you had the chance to hit me, because I knew if I got the first lick in, the odds were that I'd get a second one in. If someone had been in the room with me while I was watching that clip, I promise you I would have hit them. It was so vile that they had this young brother in this position of providing oral sex to a young white man. And
And that's what Planned Parenthood thinks of us, and that's the kind of messaging that they teach our children in the schools when they're talking about sex education. They're not teaching them how to prevent, and that's a part of the mystique, a part of the lie that they've created around the services that they provide, because they want us to believe that they're doing what the brother said, which is providing us good, sound information on sexual reproduction. But that's not what they're doing. When they're turned loose on our children in these schools, they're teaching them how to have sex. And usually it's the kind of sex that we don't want our children having. You know what I'm saying? And so I think it's up to us, and that's why I'm working so hard to get the information out in our community. I'm working so hard to help us understand the true repercussions of what's happening as we, quote, exercise the right to choose, whether it's abortion or having sex at a young age, and not being informed and not being told. And you're right, back in the day, we did take care of our children, you know, and I grew up in the North, and when someone got pregnant out of wedlock, you went to visit grandma or auntie for 9 months, and auntie or grandma raised that baby, but it never crossed anyone's mind that, in my experience, to abort their child. And that's some of the things that we have to talk about, that we have to educate about, that we have to get the information out. And, yes, we do need to educate our young people to value their fertility and value their bodies, but certainly not to have sex the way some of the things that I've seen come across Planned Parenthood's website, like Teen Wire. That's another one. If you go on there, it's just pornography, out-and-out pornography.
Well, Kathy, can I ask you a question if I could?
Absolutely.
Okay. You know, and I think that most of us are in agreement with the fact that we need to educate our children and we need to educate, you know, educate ourselves on the subject. But let me ask you a question, and at this part of what you're saying, I completely 100% agree with you, but I have a question that I would like for you to answer, and just to put it out there, who should we hold accountable for teaching our children? Because And what I have come across is that too many times the African-American culture is so codependent upon the social systems that have been tossed out and placed in front of us that we have forgotten how to basically think for ourselves when it comes to certain issues,
Amen.
I think, such as what we're talking about
Amen.
Now. So with that being said, I just want to ask you, you know, in your opinion, who do you think is best in the position and most effective when it comes to educating our children?
It's the aunts, it's the uncles, it's the nieces, it's the nephews, but it is not the school system. The school system has us where we are today. We have and my gosh, we should be screaming the alarm here, because our young people have a 50% sexually transmitted disease rate in the African-American community. And yet we have, quote, sex education in the schools. But it's because they're teaching them how to have sex, not teaching them to value their bodies, to value their fertility. And only we can teach our children that effectively. We as parents, we as family members, and we absolutely must sound the alarm. When I was growing up, and yes, I don't mind telling y'all, I'm old by most of y'all standards. I am. But I'm having a great time being old. Let me just say that. But when I was growing up, there were maybe 6, maybe 7 sexually transmitted diseases that we had to be worried about. The 2 primary ones were syphilis and gonorrhea. Today, there's over 21 STDs out there, many of which are incurable, that there is no known cure. They can't cure you of herpes. They can medicate you, but they can't cure you. HIV, you got diseases out here today that will kill you. You have diseases, chlamydia, that will take your fertility, and half the time you don't even know you have it. And we should be sounding the alarm in our community. It's up to us, because it's not going to happen from the school system, and it's not going to happen from organizations like Planned Parenthood. You know, look at the 100-day plan they gave to President Barack Obama. They, in his first 100 days in office, they wrote a plan. And if you go and look at that plan, it promotes Planned Parenthood doing sex ed in our schools. It promotes abortion. It promotes all of the behaviors that the brother just said is going to lead our young men into the prison system, because the leading demographic of those in our jails are young black men raised in a single-parent, female-headed household who dropped out of school.
Right,
only we can change that picture. It's not going to happen from these outside forces, because if anything, they're going to keep encouraging us to keep doing what we're doing so they can build more prisons, so they can abort more of our babies, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. And that's a great point Don brought up. You know, we know who should be held accountable, and that is the moms and the dads. Point blank, period. I want to, we got about 24 minutes, so I do want to touch on something else that I found interesting in the study. And one of the few in-depth sociological studies I found related to abortion and the black community, it was noted that while in the 70s, attendance at church was a contributing factor towards an African-American woman's opposition to abortion, what it seems today is that this factor has disappeared altogether. It had altogether disappeared by the 90s. It is my theory that as abortion rights became more and more key dogma of the Democratic Party, African-American churches, which have been intimately linked to that party, guess what? They grew increasingly silent on abortion. This perhaps accounts for the muddy theology we heard so frequently expressed on the issue by Reverend Al Sharpton, or I guess it even can, you know, the movie that one of our listeners in the chat room and our guest on the panel, Catherine Davis, mentioned. You know, I know that movie touched a little bit on that as far as Obama and some of the others that are pro abortion, or did I say that right?
Pro-life.
Yeah. It's crazy because I even read something where Sharpton, and I know I'm going to get something back from this comment when I put out there as far as Sharpton, but I read something recently where he went on to defend his voracious support of legalized abortion. He said that, "I trust the decisions of women because it is a human right that Roe versus Wade decided on. This is not about abortion. This is about human rights. This is about human dignity. This is about women having their say-so over their own body and over how they will decide to proceed with their life. And if America is to be America, we must protect women's rights to choose for themselves." And I'll say this, you know, after hearing those statistics, you know, that, you know, it's, you know, we're the minority, and there's so many women, African-American women, that are aborting babies, and if you know this, and you know these statistics, you know these politicians do, how could you be for abortion? You know, I mean, I just can't understand that. I want to hear what, let me pronounce his name right. He's in the chat room, and he's going to kill me. But I'm just going to say, Mr. Durrell, you want to chime in on that?
What? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got you, brother. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, what I'm going to say is basically a repeat what everybody else is saying. About the politicians, I know they're going to do what they're going to do just to get in office and everything, but this is a very sticky situation because, like I was saying earlier, I'm Catholic, and the Catholic Church is for pro-life. But at the same time, I was having a discussion with my aunt yesterday, which I'm third generation of Catholicism, and she was saying, you know, where was the Catholic Church when Roe versus Wade, back in when it was decided January 22nd, 1973, were they making a big hoopla over it? No, they're not. Where was the Catholic Church when black people were slaves in this country? If you know what I'm saying? So why now to make a big deal, or, you know, not say make a big deal, but, you know, just make, you know, finally, you know, trying to be heard. You know, you weren't heard when this stuff was going on. And I'm just for we as blacks, we being divided. And in that movie really educated me about eugenics. It's the special group of people, rich people, that is basically own Planned Parenthood. And it just, you know, I think like the sister was saying, Miss Catherine, and the brother was saying, we have to educate our people. You know, it starts with the family, because I feel the world is going to do what they're going to. They've been doing it since the first of time. But if we have a strong family unit, they can do whatever they want to do. But our children won't be participating in these things. You know what I'm saying? And I hate to say it, but I'd rather for an African-American, an African person being in office than the white man, because we already know what the white man is going to do. You know, George, that's what George Bush did for the last 8 years. He was for pro-life. But look what that got us.
Yep.
You know, and we got to stop with this. I know the Catholic Church has to stop with this tunnel vision, you know, because I paid tremendously when we had a pro-life candidate in office. I mean, you still got people, we in a war, you know.
I mean, but what does that have to do with, I mean,
what does that have to do with, what does pro-life have to do with, you know, what else is going on in the world as far as wars and, I mean, how does that relate?
Well, I was saying, you know, I'm just saying that George Bush was for pro-life. And so I'm sure a lot of people voted for him due to the fact that he was pro-life and just happened to be a Republican. But look what that got us. You know, look what voting for him got us. You know, the present president, and you know, he inherited a lot of stuff, you know, trying to clean up.
He's pro-choice. He's pro-choice. And where is that going to get
him? But guess what? Choice, well, you know, God is a God of choice. He give us choice and will. He's not sitting up here saying, I want you to worship me on Sunday. I want you to worship me every day. He's giving us a choice. So why have a man that's lesser than God sit up here? I'd rather come from choice. I don't want to come from you need to do this and you need to do that. I feel that if we start, once again, love ourselves, love our children, teach them how to love themselves, it does not matter who doing what, because the world has been doing this since the first of time.
The
world has been doing this stuff for the first time. Carla, can I say something?
I think that we lose every time we divert the conversation away from the topic that we are talking about, which is the impact of abortion on the black community. And we start going off about all of these other political things. George Bush, he ain't president no more.
No, he's not.
And that's not helping us resolve this issue of the targeting of the black community by the abortion industry. And we lose every time we allow ourselves to get diverted off onto political ideology.
Wait a minute. Can I say something? I definitely agree.
We don't want to get off topic, but Don, if you can make it really quick, and then because we have about it's gonna
be about 15 seconds long. I want to say this. Y'all know I'm a mediator, and I'm gonna tell you why mediation works. Mediation works because people come into that room ignorant about certain things, and they leave with the facts, and they agree to make better decisions. And I'm gonna leave it at that. I think that the brother had a good point.
And that's,
you educate
that's good,
and you make better decisions when you're well informed. I'm gonna leave it at that.
I agree with that assessment, but I also feel like we in the African American community have become so acclimated and acculturated to the Democrat Party politics that we can't have a mediated, reasoned conversation about it, because we always end up coming back to the political ideology of the former president versus the current president, and we don't really address the issue of whether or not the policies of the Democrat Party are good for or hurt the black community.
Well, Kathy,
and we need to face that. We need to face it. But in this discussion,
the Republican Party hurt us too. At least it hurt me. I don't know about y'all.
I agree. I agree that neither party has our interests at heart. Neither party has our interests at heart. Neither party, whether you're Republican or Democrat, the black community has no political power today. We have no political power today because neither party looks out for the interests of the black community. And every social justice issue that can impact the people group is impacting the black community at an exponentially greater rate than any other ethnic group. But we won't face that because we get lost in the political discussion about Democrats versus Republicans.
And, Catherine, you said a key word, acclimation. Look it up, folks. Acclimation. We let ourselves become acclimated into these social systems, and I agree with you 100%. We get caught up with the Democratic and Republican issues. But you know what?
Yep.
It's not a Democratic and Republican issue. It's an African-American issue.
It's an African-American issue. Amen.
And we need to start taking care of our own, and which means we need to wake up, pull our heads out of the sand. We need to recognize what's going on, and we need to take care of it. I mean, that's called plain, simple English.
I just want to say this.
Well, 1 second, everybody. We got about 13 minutes, so this is just part one of the series. We'll definitely have more. But I want to reiterate what I touched on at the top of the hour, which is so very important. The topic is the awakening of African Americans, and what should be the kicker in all this is that 13 million African American lives have been lost to abortion. And Catherine Davis from George Right to Life, she said those numbers are low compared to her statistics because the CDC is about 2 years behind. So just keep that in mind. That's what we're talking about tonight. And I think that if things don't change, what the African American community is going to be looking at is possible extinction. And, I mean, there's no better way to put that. I mean, I believe that. I want to ask this really quick. Abortion has so greatly diminished the population of the African-American, you know, the population, and has diminished it. And what has happened is that they have been displaced, African-Americans, we've been displaced by Hispanics as the largest minority group right now. Did you guys know that?
Absolutely.
Abortions.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And so we still have people, I mean, just knowing that, and knowing that if we continue at this pace, we'll be looking at extinction. Do we still have listeners and guests on the panel that are pro-choice? African-American listeners that are still pro-choice after hearing those statistics and hearing that we've been displaced by Hispanics?
Yes.
I believe at the end of the day, I am for pro-life, but at the end of the day, it's the person's choice. But I do believe, like the brothers and sisters saying, we definitely need to educate our people, and black people need to take our power back and focus on the solution, which is educating and loving ourselves. I truly believe in that. You know what I'm saying?
And Carla, let me say this briefly about what you just mentioned. You know, here's the great picture in my mind is that, you know, legalized abortions are the safest way out. Because I'm going to tell you something. If we think that if we take away the choices of some of our women, which are to have abortions legally or illegally, I'm going to tell you what I think is going to happen. We're going to go back to the days when Roe versus Wade hit the table.
Yes.
And the issue was that so many of our women were having backroom abortions, and you're going to have a bigger issue on your hands. So here's what I'm saying.
That's a myth.
I don't agree with that.
Hold on now. That is a myth.
Catherine, let me finish, Catherine. Okay? Here's the deal. Now, whether we believe it or not, I'll agree to disagree with you on that issue. But what I will say is this. In my mind, I would rather see it done legally and correctly rather than to see some of our women get caught up in some of these backroom abortion issues. Now, I say that to say this, and I'm going to leave it where it is. I'm going to say that to say this. I strongly agree, and I strongly say this. We need to educate our people so we won't have to make those types of choices. I'd rather see somebody walk into a doctor's office than to go to someone's home who is inexperienced and doesn't know what they're doing and take a chance on losing their life because they're afraid to disclose their pregnancy. And that's what you're going to see a lot
of. Well, women are still dying in the abortion clinics today. So it is a myth that we have these safe abortions because women are dying.
The numbers are out there. The numbers are out there.
The
numbers are
out
there on that.
So you're saying what? You're saying that to say what?
What I'm saying is that prior to Roe versus Wade didn't become an issue until we had so many women that were out there having abortions illegally. And the issue at hand was that so many folks were dying trying to have these illegal abortions. Now,
I'm going to say this, and that is a myth. There are no numbers to back up what you just said from pre-Roe v. Wade. There were states in the United States, like New York and California, that had legalized abortion prior to 1973.
Catherine, they couldn't get to those places. We're talking about Catherine. Wait a minute. See, you're trying to.
Okay.
We're not talking about California. We're talking about national numbers.
John.
Okay, I'm talking about national numbers.
Okay. Go ahead, Carl.
I would say, where are the numbers to back up? I'm sorry, go ahead.
All right. I mean, you know, I appreciate this dialogue and stuff, but I don't want, you know, it's just going back and forth,
sure.
You know, and really, so let's go ahead and move on. What I want to do, we got about 8 minutes, so I do want to allow, you know, Don and Catherine some last words, and then I'll close it out. Don, you can go ahead, and then we'll have Catherine say her last words.
You want me to go ahead? Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
Yep.
Well, you know, once again, like I said, me personally, you know, and this is my personal thing, is that, you know, I believe that abortions should not take place in this country. I won't stand upon that. But I also agree with what our caller said and with some of what Al Sharpton mentioned. I don't think that Al Sharpton is supporting abortions per se, but I think that what he's saying and some of our other religious leaders are saying is that, listen, do we have the right to force our opinions on other people? I think that's the bigger question. And if we educate them, you know, and rather than force our own opinions upon them, then perhaps we won't have as much of this stuff going on as we do. I'll leave it at that.
Catherine?
Wow. I want to thank you for allowing me to share with you today. This has been absolutely great. I will say this. At the beginning of the second hour, near the beginning, someone said something about the mischaracterization of my alpha of Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, and that it is divisive. We have to face the fact that not all of us are committed to truly educating our people in a real and significant way. And since I've been doing this job, I've had people accuse me of being anti-black women. In fact, one blogger analogized me to the nurse that participated in the Tuskegee experiments when she didn't alert the black men that they were being not given the appropriate treatment. They said that I am like her because I'm saying that we need to take a look at this question of the impact of abortion on the black community. I absolutely believe that there is targeting, and I believe only when we wake up to this question will we begin to see a real and significant change, and when we get committed to, as my brother said, educating our community about the true impetus behind abortion in America, will we begin to see some real change. And so thank you again for having me. I really appreciated this opportunity.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. I want to thank Don, Ashley, Shantae, Queen G, Reverend EOTM on the West Coast, Say Tuesday, as well as the callers in the chat room, the instant messenger people on Skype and Facebook, as well as Paulette Beattie. And I'll close the segment off with this. Before the Reverend Jesse Jackson entered presidential politics, he correctly preached that abortion was a form of genocide that would devastate the black community. African-American pro-life leaders such as Reverend Johnny Hunter continues to preach the same message. My research suggests that their instincts are right. Outreach efforts to the African-American community that underscore the devastation abortion has wrought on African-Americans as a group are very effective in awakening concern about abortion, which is otherwise commonly dismissed as a white issue. There is no question that the African-American community is in great need of pro-life education and services among the approximately 18 million African-American women in this country. A very high percentage of them are carrying the pain of 13 million abortions. Each year, more than 400,000 abortions are added to those numbers, y'all. As pro-lifers, we must start building bridges into our African-American communities. I believe that as we make the effort, we will quickly find that we are building the bridge side by side, y'all. So before you exit our radio piece tonight, we ask that you subscribe to receive alerts to the future shows in the Awakening of African-American series, amongst all of the others. And again, thank you, everybody on the panel. Thank y'all for listening. Good night. Peace and blessings, y'all.
Would you like to go with me down my dead end street? Would you like to come with me to village ghetto land? See the people lock their doors while robbers laugh and steal. Beggars watch and eat their meals from garbage cans. It's a bloody scene, killing plagues of citizens, especially on police. Children play with rusted cars, swords cover their hands. Politicians laugh and drink. Drunk to all demand. Families buying dog food now. Starvation roams the streets. Babies die before they're born, infected by the green. Now some folks say that we should be glad for what we have. Tell me, would you be happy? I'm living in village ghetto land.
Here we go.